This is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Telluride, and especially Telluride Jazz, can claim jazz singer and writer Veronica Swift as an adoptive daughter. By the time she was 10, Veronica was gracing Telluride's Fred Shellman stage with Dave Adams' Young Rascals Jazz Project and with saxophonist Richie Cole. She also worked with Bob Montgomery and his Telluride Jazz All-Stars. In 2011, Veronica sang a duet with Jazz Fest's guest of honor that year, Paquito de Rivera. By 2016, she was headlining at the Jazz Festival, her 10th appearance in our Box Canyon, but her first as a featured vocalist. And that time she performed with the Eric Gunnison Trio. Veronica Swift returns in triumph to the Telluride Jazz Festival to perform on Saturday, August 10th at 1:30 p.m. on the main stage, and later that evening at the Liberty. Veronica, thanks for taking time out of your touring schedule. I know you just returned from Europe to talk with me.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So, it appears that nature and nurture conspired in your favor. So, please talk about your early years with your bebop pianist father, Hode O'Brien, and your singer, educator, author mom, Stephanie Nicasian. In what ways are you channeling your parents' careers and influence?
Well, first off, his name is Hod. It's pronounced Hod.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's okay. Yeah, Hod. And growing up with my parents as bebop musicians, it never really felt like, you know, it just felt like how life was supposed to be. I never thought it was cool or awesome or whatever. I definitely knew it was a different upbringing than most other children my age. And it would never change it for the world. I'm so blessed to this day, even with every passing day, I always thank what I've been given, you know. And when I'm singing my music, of course, my music is a culmination of my experiences in school, my experiences in life, and my experiences as a child with them. So I feel that I am doing my best to channel all of that. But just me singing vocalies and singing my father's original tunes like I did in Marcy Axis last week with Winton. They did one of my dad's originals. I feel that is just keeping the tradition alive. And that's what they were doing. That's what my mom is doing. And that's what I like to think that I'm doing.
Wonderful. Thanks for that answer. In more than one interview, you have said that rock frontman Marilyn Manson, and perhaps even more importantly, jazz singer Anita O'Day, known as the Jezebel of jazz, were also major influences. Why and in what ways did they show up in your stage life?
Well, of course, Anita O'Day showed up because of my mother. She was, whenever I got into a jazz singer or musician, it was because my parents listened to them or did shows that were dedicated to them. And Anita O'Day, I gravitated towards her because of her, she was like one of the boys. And I really, you know, appreciated that because I was always one of the boys. I grew up, you know, in the Jazz Rascals, Young Rascals Jazz Project group, in the jazz band I've been playing with, All-Stars and whatnot. I've been around boys. And I'm just, you know, that's why I appreciate Anita O'Day, because that's what she kind of stood for. And also she just, her phrasing was just unlike any other phrasing I've ever heard before. Like, it was like a mixture of like Billie Holiday with the theater of Martha Ring. But Marilyn Manson actually didn't become an influence until later when I was in college. I experienced some hardship and really troubling, trivial times for me. And I actually got into writing. That's when I got into writing and exploring my own artistry. What does that mean? And my artistry extends beyond jazz and beyond genre constrictions. And Marilyn Manson kind of saved me in that way. His music, his message, and his artistry saved me. It gave me the strength to write and gave me the strength to realize, yeah, I am a badass. And that's in his music. It's not really as much as music as much as his persona and what he stands for as an artist and the philosophy that he preaches.
Terrific. Thank you. The Thelonious Monk competition might well have been a turning point in your career path. Could you explain how and why?
Well, what I believe is that an artist strives to discover more often the moments that where we can experience the selfless kind of life, out of body experience on stage. When we're performing, we want to just purely be vessels for the music, and we want like this out of body experience kind of means that we're really in tune and at peace and at one with that, with the audience, mm-hmm. with the musicians, with the music, with the venue. And when you're young, it's harder, you know, of course, because you're more inexperienced and you have a lot more, you know, especially with that, with school and competition being hanging over your head, there's a lot of pressure. You're not able to get to that place. And the Monk competition was one of the first times I was able to really just relax into myself and say, this is going to be whatever it's going to be. And I'm going to just, you know, I'll know I performed my best because I'm going to just explore this, just accept this experience and what it has to offer, which is to meet some of the best singers in the world, the best at their craft, and the most, not just that, but the ones with the most unique voices. And what other experience do we get that, you know, in life? It's very rare. And I think I got so far in the competition because I just approached it with that perspective.
Great. So once upon a time, I've read that your future in jazz was in doubt. You alluded to that in your answer about Marilyn Manson a bit. When was that? Why was that? And what brought you back on your path?
I don't think that... See, my opinion is that there's no such thing as veering off your path. You know, uh-huh. Your path is your path. And my path at that time was to explore something else that would bring... You know, because like I said, I'm not just a jazz singer. And like you said, yeah. I'm not just a jazz singer. I'm also a writer. And so it was to discover myself, really. That's what the path was, had offered at that time. And what instigated that change was I was experiencing frustrations in school and trying to maintain a professional career as well. I was experiencing creative frustrations because I felt a little bit put in a box, as one can in this world when branding mm-hmm. becomes a thing. And I was also experiencing hardship because when I first entered college, my house had burnt down, my childhood home, and I was coping with that and the change of home and scenery and moving. And then I found out my dad had gotten cancer.
Oh.
So it's a lot to deal with in like 4-year span. And also I just really didn't, and I love Miami, but the place where I was living, my house situation was absolutely falling apart. Like, you know, landlord stuff. So just the little things here and there too. Everything was just seemed to be falling apart, and I needed mm-hmm. to channel that anger somewhere.
Okay.
So that was just another step in the path.
Yeah, you've given me a nice segue to my next question, and it's a variation on the theme of this of the answer you just gave. That Simon and Garfunkel lyric about "Hello, darkness, my old friend" seems to mm-hmm. apply to you now and then. What is the role of your shadow side and darkness in general in your work? And by your work, I do mean your writing as well as your performance.
Well, I think that darkness is just as powerful as the strongest light, and we can't ignore either. And, you know, we strive to live in the light, but the light can be blinding sometimes, and we need to have a balance. I think it's more important to have the balance and embrace that darkness and don't give in to it. Don't feed into it. Don't feed it the power that it's trying to take from you. But find, like Hello Dark, exactly, my old friend. You have to be at peace with it and know it's there and know what it's mm-hmm. capable of and see what it can teach you about yourself. And in my opinion, when I write, I try to find how they actually aid each other, the dark and the light. And it's just so much more powerful when they work together.
Great answer. Thank you. A more general question. How do you define jazz? And how does jazz fit into the picture of you as a storyteller who is also deeply into opera and drama?
Mm-hmm. Well, how does one define jazz? There's a million different answers. A million different people tell you different things. But I can just give you my answer right now, how I feel. What I feel jazz means, especially to me, it means freedom, and it stands for that. I mean, just look at how it originated. It was It's really hard. It's a hard question to answer, isn't it? That's the best answer I can give. That it does. It stands for freedom, and the freedom to create this, to write music and to sing, and the freedom to let things be. To let an artist be who they're going to be. Just like in improvisation, there's no one that's telling us what to play at that moment. I didn't write my solos beforehand. That's the manifestation right there, just an improvisation. Yes. I guess I can't really describe it further. I just think, to me, it means freedom. And
okay.
I'm not the most eloquent speaker, so I...
You're doing wonderfully. I appreciate your answer. But talk about how, you know, the sort of the lineup in your life of jazz with opera, with drama.
Yeah. So, like, I talk about jazz being a subtle, to me, an art form of subtlety. But there is the drama that, you know, all these great, great songs that we take from the American Songbook come from musical theater. And theater is drama. Theater is romanticism. Theater is the hero's journey. Theater is, you know, and that's something that I, as a writer, always gravitated towards. I was obsessed with drama, and how far could someone go in expressing, like what I loved about opera was that, first of all, the technique is insane. And as a singer, like, I'm just like, how do they do this? But then I listen to these sounds kind of encompassed and embodied what pure rage felt like, or what pure joy and ecstasy felt like, and that was embodied in a sound, and that's what I wanted to explore further as a sound in writing or a sound in singing, the dramaticism and mixing that and putting that into my jazz in a way that still serves the subtlety, but I feel that's what Veronica Swift is.
Thank you. Wow, that was a terrific answer. You tied all those threads together. So now we've talked about the role of your parents in nurturing you, and obviously other people along the way have brought you along. But Telluride fits into that nurturing story. So would you talk about what Telluride has meant to you and to your career?
Well, Telluride, I mean, there's really not a, there's like, I can't explain any other, there's no other festival. Like, when you have a festival that kind of, it's one thing when you have like a mentor or a musician who looks after you and takes on you on as their own. But when a festival does that, that's like thousands of people every year that, you know, you come, they come to see you. They say, I remember you when you were this big. It's family. That's the one word for that, to describe that. It's family. And I have never felt that before from like the jazz community. That was like the first time I ever felt a sense of family, from fans, from promoters, presenters, and other musicians that come every year. Just I looked forward to that every year, and each year I just grew exponentially, and I have Telluride to thank for that. And I'm so glad that they're still having me back, and it's just beautiful. And also just those mountains. I grew up with mountains. Not like the Rockies, of course, but different kinds of mountains. And for me, mountains represent home as well. So just to
Great.
Be around nature like that, yeah.
So the Jazz Rascals is no more, but Bob Montgomery will be here again with the Jazz All-Stars, and I think it's 25 years of him doing this. Do you have? Could you just comment on Bob Montgomery and his influence in particular in the Telluride Jazz All-Stars?
Bob has touched the lives and created, you know, pathways, career pathways for musicians, hundreds of musicians, young musicians, including Diane Reeves, which you know. And I talked to Diane about him the other day. I saw her in Umbria Jazz Fest. And, I mean, some people, like some of us wouldn't be here, because we wouldn't have been challenged in the way that Bob has challenged us. And he does it, it's all out of love because he believes in everyone that comes to that program, and he gives so much opportunity, like, you know, to, I remember that was my first time I did that. It was a huge learning curve because I was used to playing standards all the time and singing American Songbook, and he was the first person that got me to think about writing original music, because that's what really the Jazz All-Stars were about. Playwright All Stars were about, you know, presenting the original music of these children and young adults. And so I don't just thank him for challenging me as a singer, but also as a writer and composer.
Great. Well, thank you. I won't take up any more of your time. This has been Susan Deebrock. Delighted to be speaking with Veronica Swift, who returns to perform at Telluride Jazz Saturday, August 10th, 1:30 p.m. on the main stage, again at the Liberty at 10 p.m. Veronica, thanks for taking the time. I know your schedule is wildly busy, so I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Take care.